We're going to continue talking about this picture of an inner man and outward man. And I know I sound like a broken record continuing teaching on this, but it's not just a message that you can add to the common church theology. I remember years ago when I learned about praying in tongues and I was practicing it, I thought, oh, this is great. I've learned so much about God in my past, and now I'm adding praying in tongues to my ministry. I thought my ministry is going to go higher because I'm praying in tongues. So God's going to build on what he's taught me how to serve God in the past, and this praying in tongues is going to add more to me. And I remember him saying, no, it's a different tree. I didn't quite know what back then what he meant, but I understood that the work of praying in tongues was going to do a work in me that was not adding to so much to what I've learned in the past, but really it's a different path. The walk of the Spirit is a different path than good old church teachings. And not that good old church teachings is wrong or bad. It's all good. It's all good. Every church is a good work that preaches Jesus. But there's got to be a path where we see this revival that we're believing for. It's in the Word. It's for every generation. But yet we don't have it. And I don't want to pass on the okay doctrine from the past and move it on to my children, to the next generation. I want to seek the truth, whether no matter where it takes me. And so I understand that this teaching, inner man, outward man, is complicated to understand. And it's only complicated because of the piles of religious thinking or carnal thinking or okay thinking that's been laid on top of it for generations. I'm not asking you to forgive me for keep preaching it. It's just this is what God's assigned me to do. So I'm the inner man, outward man preacher now, it seems like. But this revelation is really making me rethink how the church is supposed to go into revival, how you are supposed to get victory in your life. So many people are just throwing prayers up in faith, hoping it works, and you see some results. But when it gets to some difficult, impossible things, we see very few results. And it shouldn't be like that. And when you hit an impossible thing, like I have in my physical life, then and everything you do doesn't work to bring your miracle. We always know it's not God withholding things from us. Then it has to do with my belief system. Why can't I receive what God has freely given to me? What's in the way? And it is misunderstanding or lack of faith, as we would say, but it's really knowledge, not knowing why I can receive it. I hope you're being blessed by this series, and I'm excited to teach what we're going to teach today. We're at a place in this series where we're talking about how does God transfer the knowledge of God. I've done a thorough teaching on you have a mind in the spiritual man, and you have a mind in the carnal man. And we're going to see how does God pass knowledge to you. Most believers are trying to teach their outward man's mind the things of God. But you're going to find that it's not how it works. That God, on this walk of the Spirit, he teaches you spirit to spirit. And then as your inner man develops in knowledge, that's where the confrontation takes place with the outward man. It's not that the Holy Spirit deals with your outward man. You have to deal with your outward man. So we're going to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there is a transformation after you're saved that you have to go through, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. That's the same word we would use for transformation. But we're going from one species to another species, much more different than a caterpillar to a butterfly, in the sense that a caterpillar by nature desires to be a butterfly. You weren't naturally designed to be a believer, a child of God. you're from the family of Adam before you're saved, and so this is an unnatural transformation. That's why it's not easy. That's why you have warfare from your outward man when you try to kill it off. But he says here, we are being transformed into the same image. Well, where is that image? Well, we know where it is. It's the new nature. And he tells you where to find it. You look in a mirror, and if you look past your flesh, your outward man, inside of your inner man is a new nature, the Spirit of Christ, that nature of God in you. It's like a seed. And if you look into that seed, you will discover there's an image in that of Jesus in all of his fullness, in his maturity, in his knowledge, in his emotions, and in his holiness. And that is in you in seed form. And that's why it says we are transformed into that image. So the picture is that on this path, you can take the image of Christ that's in you and build Christ in you. Sounds blasphemous, but hold your finger there. We'll come back here in a second. And let's look in Romans chapter 13. I'll just go to verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So this picture of transformation is becoming clearer and clearer that we are to put on Jesus Christ. And it says, then, I'll read it again. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So the transformation process is not about just denying the flesh and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. Many people can make choices in willpower, but willpower will only take you so far. Some people are very strong personality. I know people who decide to get in shape and they go to the gym and they walk out 10 years later as bodybuilders and they eat chicken breasts and rice, you know, every day, every meal. And they have incredible discipline and fortitude. And sometimes I look at them and think, what's wrong with me? You know, why don't I have that same fortitude of willpower where I can stick to that regiment? And they're not even saved. I'm such a wimp. And it's okay to be a wimp because our victory doesn't come from that power of willpower. Our victory doesn't come from fortitude and strength of the natural desires. There's a path where you can be a wimp. You can fail eating. You can go on your diet, eat chicken and rice for one meal, then followed up by hamburgers and pizza and cheesecake for dessert, you know. And you can be that wimpy and still get on this path of transformation because transformation is a supernatural miracle that you and I can walk in every single day. It doesn't matter how strong you are. This is a different tree, a different path that God wants to build the church on, the Christian on, not the path of discipline or willpower, but the path of building up that inner man, putting Christ on. When I put on Christ, when I put on Jesus Christ, then also I'll be able to mortify the deeds of the body. The transformation picture is you pour into that inner man, and as the inner man grows, it will confront, the Holy Spirit will use the maturity of your inner man to confront the counterfeit of your outward man. That is the picture of transformation. It's not Holy Ghost, teach me something. It's I'm going to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit's going to build in me. I remember going to a fancy restaurant with my wife on our first anniversary. And the meal was wonderful. I remember laughing because we got a gift card someone gave us to this really expensive restaurant. And so we were excited to go, but it wasn't like a big gift card. It was just enough to kind of average it out. And so we ordered our meals, and we didn't have a lot of money, especially back then, and they had little tiny glasses for my Coca-Cola. You know, I'm used to the McDonald's size soda for a dollar, right? And so they'd fill it up and I'd drink it, and they just kept coming. Would you like another? And I thought it odd. I thought these fancy restaurants, they keep asking me if I want another soda. Where you go to like a regular restaurant, they just fill it for you. When I go to a Mexican restaurant in town, they just keep it full. I thought, wow, they're fancy. They keep asking me. And at the end of the meal, I found out that each little soda was $4. And I was like, man, I got tricked. But at the end of the meal, we had this incredible banana cream pie. And it was so like over the top. And if you know me, when I like something, like food, I like to discover how it's made and begin to learn how it's made and so I can make it at home. And this was like a 5-star recipe. So I found the recipe online and it was complicated. You had to take vanilla bean and open it up and use the vanilla bean to make the cream. And you had to shave your own chocolate, and everything was from scratch. So I made my first attempt, and these were like 3-pound pies. So lots of bananas. You'd slice them up, and then you would make your cream and everything else and make the custard all from scratch. I'm not that fancy of a chef, but I made it, and I, first time, I didn't know how the vanilla bean worked because I'm so used to just vanilla extract. And we used to get the good vanilla from Mexico, the good stuff. And I would pour it in there. But this asked for vanilla beans. So the first time I made my custard, I just threw the bean in there. And I didn't even know you were supposed to like pull out all the seeds. And that's what you scrape out the seeds. That's where the flavor is. And so after we ate it, it was okay. You know, it was a good treat, but it wasn't like what I ate. So I made a mission to build the skill to learn and make it. And my poor wife and friends, but my poor wife, because every weekend I would take hours and attempt to make it again. You know, and it's kind of silly because I'm not a 5-star chef. I'm not even a 1-star chef. But I was giving it the good old try, and so I would make it and every week, and I made it for months. Every weekend that was our dessert for the week. And my goal was if I can just learn how to make the technique and learn how to make it from a recipe. Once I learn it, then I can always make it the rest of my life, and pass that on, that skill and the plan on to others if I wanted to. I can be a teacher of it. And man, I got close, and I can still do it today now, and that's, you know, 20-some years later. But I did months and months of learning how to do it and developing the skill and the technique and without a teacher, just from the menu or the recipe I found online. And it was incredible. It was such a great dessert. And I say that because so many Christians in the Christian world, the modern church is training believers how to receive from the pulpit, how to receive the word, how to receive the anointing. They're making great proclamations. God's going to give you strength. God's going to bless you. It's all okay. But there's a much more excellent way, and that's the walk of the Spirit. And it's not just about praying in tongues. The walk of the Spirit is really about the power or the ability of praying in tongues to build up that inner man. See, the difference between what I'm teaching and what I used to teach years and years ago was I'd have a service and I'd pray for people, lay hands on a bunch of people, and we'd have a glorious service. Everyone was crying or touched or falling out. But the real answer is, what eternal change happens when you lay hands on someone? What eternal change happens when you say a word over someone, teach someone? The goal of all preaching should be to pass on things from God to another person, not to just have a great service. Nothing wrong with a great service. For if it's to make you excited and encouraging you to keep going, then that's a good service. But we don't need just cheerleading services. You need to grow in God, because God has something for you that you can only get from Him. You cannot get it from man. I listen to some services, and it's so embarrassing. I can last 5 minutes of so much proclamation. God's going to take you higher. God's going to activate your calling. God's going to double your anointing, and it's coming this year for you. And people get excited, but nothing really changes. And they keep coming back for more. It's like a drug. I need to get excited to feel good. And they use the preacher to get excited, and the preacher uses the people. And it's like going to church and with a bunch of believers and hugging each other. Oh, you're great. No, you're great. And I love you. I love you. And that's not what church is for. That's a part of church. But more than that is, we're supposed to be building a body, building an army of God that can break down the enemy's territory and get all the people born again. Well, it's not easy to be a soldier, and you got to remind yourself that. If the Holy Spirit's brought you down this path, it's not just about goosebumps and feeling good and being happy and, oh, God is love, He loves me. I know some people who, they're so frustrated with fighting their flesh, their outward man, that they just kind of give into it. And when they accept the doctrine that says, God loves me just the way I am, all that praying in tongues is works. Why am I working for something I already have? And they have this peace come over them and life feels good all of a sudden. Well, it's because they've hugged their outward man rather than put him in his place. So the outward man rewards them with feelings of euphoria and peace. You're no longer fighting the outward man. And, you know, God bless them. They'll still get to heaven and they'll still get people to heaven. But eventually, when you read the word enough, you start to see there's victories in there for people. Miracles, signs and wonders, kicking the devil's butt. Out of your family, out of your city, you see them turning the world upside down and great boldness. And you think, well, where's that in my life? Where's that in the church's life? And so that disappointment in our generation, in our culture of Christianity, is enough for the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I got something I want to tell you. And He'll begin to lead you down a path to say, are you willing to come further? Are you willing to come along further? I remember the day when the Holy Spirit came to my room and sat down beside me on the bed. That's what it felt like. I was sitting on the bed praying, and it felt like God came in and sat down beside me. And He said to me, I need you to choose today. Are you going to be a normal Christian, or are you going to pursue the high call? And I remember thinking in the moment, oh, obviously the high call. Because at that moment, I thought the high call was a big ministry, great success, a lot of cheering and followers and airplane. I need an airplane to travel around and Alan Taylor Ministries International. And I thought that was what the high call was. But that was then. But in a split second, he sobered me up. He showed me it was a life of laying down my outward man's desires, breaking down my agenda of the outward man, that laying down my life every day, a life of prayer, life of fasting, a life of seeking God. It was so shocking to me. I remember I said, no. I said, God, Father, I can't even find anything in my heart that wants to be that kind of man. I mean, I want to be that kind of man, but I don't see any, I can't find anything in me that wants to really go that deep into God where I abandon the outward man. But I said, but Father, I choose the high call if you'll help me. And that's all he needed to hear. He needed my permission to take me down this road. And it's not the same road as what I was on. It's a different path. This path is more warlike. It's more lonely. You have fewer people understanding you, cheering you on. Fewer friends. You become fully dependent on God for your value, for your self-worth. It's a life of you and God. And he just needed my permission to take me down this path. And the fact that you're listening tells me that you've probably had something similar where he got your permission to go deeper into him and has cost you. It's a lonely path. It's a singular path where your life is about growing in God. God bless you, because God's going to use you. You're becoming a soldier, not just a follower. Well, if all we ever do is learn to receive the things of God from somebody else, that's like going to an expensive restaurant and having to pay good money for not just your banana pie, but also your Coca-Cola. It's expensive. It costs you. If that's your Christianity, always seeking a minister to give you something, when God is your God as much as He is the minister's, the Holy Spirit is your Holy Spirit as much as He is a minister's. Now, there are seasons in life that we need that. I needed that in my earlier years to get to where I'm at today. But there comes a time where you got to take responsibility for your life and say, I'm not going to stay the same. I'm not going to stay on this comfortable, lazy path where I don't have to fight my outward man. I want to see the scripture come true in my life, in my family's life. And that's when you're going to find the message of the walk of the Spirit, or I would add the message of transformation. And I had one young man, he got discouraged in praying in tongues, and he found a bunch of very popular preachers who walked in the gift of miracles, and they would say things like, you don't have to, praying in tongues is a good thing, but it's more about you just accepting who you already are. And that was the picture. You're already complete in Christ. Now you just have to accept it and yield over to it and believe it. And then praying in tongues changes your thinking to think like who you already are. So it's a picture that your spirit is fully complete. And now you just have to just think it. And you don't even have to think it to believe it. Just do it. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So go do it. And that's where I begin to say the model of the carnal church is, what can I do for God? But the model to the spiritual church is, what can God do through me? And I remember telling that young man as he was devaluing the praying in tongues in his life, he said, I don't, this walk of the Spirit brought trouble to my life. And I don't need, we don't need to pray that much. And I said, when I was young, that's what I was taught. I said, 20 years ago, I was taught that you just believe God, step out in faith, and change who you are by choice. And I said, it was the message of the walk of the Spirit that really rescued me. It saved me out of that, because I was failing in that. I didn't have a strong natural fortitude or discipline. And as much as I tried, when you live your young life and don't develop a strong discipline, you're not raised on a farm, then how on earth are you going to develop it when you're older? And so I was rescued by Pastor Dave Roberson's teaching on the walk of the Spirit, which was, you may struggle with this area. You may be having a hard time overcoming things. You may not be the person you want to be, but can you make yourself pray in tongues? Because if you make yourself pray in tongues, you'll begin to change you from the inside out. And I said, well, yes, I can do that. I can discipline myself to pray in tongues. And praise God for that message. It put me on this path of transformation. I didn't realize that it was a path of transformation, but I knew it was an answer that I could do. And I remember telling this young man, I said, 20 years from now, you're costing everyone who listens to you 20 years of their life. 20 years from now, they're going to realize this isn't working. Just accepting who I am and walking it out in faith and believing God. In fact, that's a very carnal message, because it stops your fight with the outward man and begins to include your outward man with the work of the gospel. And I said, 20 years from now, the whole group of you are going to say, you know what? I need help. I can't do this on my own. I've tried to be strong in faith. You know, you can have the willpower to lift 1,000 pounds and go, yeah, I'm strong. You know, and yeah, that is strong. But the devil is a professional destroyer of people. Just look at all the preachers being exposed lately. And these are all good men overall trying to serve God, but they lived a life of denying their flesh, using their willpower. And that's why Pastor Dave would always teach so important not to use just your willpower. You do have to use your willpower to start with. But if that's all you rely on, the enemy will come with 10,000 pounds. You know, I saw that you might be able to lift an elephant, but you know that the tongue of the blue whale weighs more than an elephant. That's what I read anyway. And so you may be able to lift that elephant of struggle, of sin, of emotional struggle and pride and anger. You may be able to use your willpower. I can look at me. I can lift this elephant. I can handle it. But if the devil puts a blue whale on you, not just the tongue, but the whole blue whale on you, then you're going to find yourself squished, exposed in your weaknesses. We need to be transformed. Now, here's the beginning picture of it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's the picture of transformation, that you have a new nature in you. And inside of that seed of the new nature is an image of Jesus in his maturity, all of his love, his knowledge, his peace, his joy. That's all in a seed form. It's all in you. His holiness, it's all in there. We are to put on Jesus Christ. We are to give that seed what it needs so it will grow. And what will it grow? What will it form in you? Jesus Christ. His ability of knowledge, his ability to love with the love of God, with the peace of God. And as that inner man, because your inner man was brought to life by the new nature, that's where it has to happen, because your inner man was created in true righteousness and holiness. So it can now hold the knowledge of God and hold the emotions of God's love in you. It may sound blasphemous, and you may be scared to think, nah, me, I'll never be like Jesus. Well, no, you won't. You just told me. But if you go down this path of transformation, there's a work being done that's supernatural. Every single day, a miracle happens in your life as you build up that inner man. And as the inner man builds up, then that's where the confrontation comes with the outward man. It doesn't happen by God just dealing with your outward man. Verse 18 again. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you take that time and you spend time praying in tongues every day, in private worship, meditating the Word of God, you're beginning to not just equip the inner man with truth, but you're giving that seed the nutrients for it to grow. That image of Christ will begin to come forward in your inner man. And there'll be a day down the road that you can live out of that inner man. You'll think, feel, and serve God through the inner man, not from the outward man. Let's read on chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, so what is the ministry? The ministry is this transformation. That should be taught in Christianity 101. Welcome to the church. So glad you're born again. Now you have a ministry. Oh, what is it? It's not to feed the poor, though that's a good work. It's not to go win souls. That is a good work. It's not even to sweep the floor. The ministry that every believer starts with, 101, is this ministry of transformation. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So if you want to underline something, underline, do not lose heart. Well, let's just keep reading this since I've gone this far. I meant to go other places today, but we'll just keep on this focus. Verse 2. But we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul's teaching here that the truth of God that's built in your inner man can be manifested out where it can help other people. And he's saying, we're not like these, we're not doing it in craftiness. So that tells you there is a gospel where you preachers can be crafty and handling the word of God deceitfully. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So their minds, the natural mind of the unsaved person, is blinded. Let me just pause there. That's telling us that every unsaved person, their mind is blinded. And he's talking here specifically about the Jewish people that won't believe in Christ and the preachers of adding the Jewish doctrine to the Gentiles. And he's saying their minds are blinded. And so when you got born again, did your outward man get born again, or was it left dead? See, your flesh was left dead. So it's still blinded. Your outward man is still blinded. It can't handle the truth. It can't handle the truth because it's a different species. Your inner man is born again. It is of righteousness and light. And it's got a mind in there, birthed of God. So now you can talk to the Holy Spirit, or he can talk to you spirit to spirit. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, whenever you see the word light, image, righteousness, those are all talking about that new nature, that seed of Christ in you. So he's saying when you were born again, he commanded light to shine out of darkness. The same miracle to create the universe was used to get you born again. Hallelujah. And then, now that you're born again, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. And I've done a couple messages on this where I believe the proper terminology here is that we have this treasure chest. And you can look it up in the Greek that it can mean treasure or the holder, the place that holds the treasure. So now that we're born again, we have a treasure chest, a mind that can hold the thoughts of God. We have a treasure chest inside of this earthen vessel. So we have an inner man inside of the outward man. And you'll see that's the context of what he's talking about here. But we have this treasure chest inside of an earthen vessel. We have a spiritual body that's alive inside of a natural body that is dead. We have a spiritual body with a mind and emotions that can be developed but are immature inside of an outward body with a mind and emotions of meat, carnal. And because of that, we're going to keep reading. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Boy, this high call, don't be discouraged on this high call. When you're pressing into this high call of God, which is the diminishing of the outward man, that is what the high call of God is. High call of God is how much of your outward man can you mortify and diminish. You're going to find battles and struggles and warfare, and you're thinking like I thought, who am I for God to think I can do this? Why is he not picking some of these mighty men that I see on TV? Or how does he think it's even possible for me to become that kind of man or woman? How is that even possible for God to do that in us? That's how much God believes in you. That's how much God believes in the power and this path of transformation. It's not so much he believes in you as much as he believes in the work he can do in you if you just stay on the path. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our body. That's a beautiful picture of transformation. He's talking about death and life within the mortal body. What's he saying? Well, what's the death of Jesus? He's not talking about Jesus on the cross here as much as he's talking about Jesus's death towards his body. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was sweating blood and he said, Father, is there any other way? Please let this cup pass from me. Do I have to do that? Don't make me go through the cross and the separation from you. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And his answer to his disciples was, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus' death here is not him dying on the cross. God's not going to ask you to die on the cross for anybody. That's already been completed by Jesus. This death here is his life of obeying God and always resisting and denying his mortal body. He got a spirit man from his birth in Bethlehem. He was born with light and righteousness, a new nature, and a live inner man. But he was wearing a body that he got from Mary. If you got a picture of him, he would look just like Mary, probably. Wouldn't see Joseph in him, because Joseph was not his real father. God was his father. Well, guess what? Joseph is not your father either. God is your father to your inner man. So this death he's talking about is a life of putting down the desires and plans, agendas of the outward man. Not just denying it, resisting it. It starts there, but mortifying the root of where that brokenness is. That is the power of transformation. You don't need to be strong. As long as you're strong enough to get in the prayer closet and stay in the prayer closet, then you will see that Christ in you will begin to develop and you'll find supernatural strength. You'll shock yourself. Where is this coming from? Didn't come from my upbringing. Didn't come from my mama. Didn't come from my dad. Where did this come from? From Christ in you. It did come from your dad, your spiritual father. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. This is transformation. Not just denying the flesh and overpowering the outward man, but to build up the inner man. And as the life of Christ is developed in that inner man, it will come over and make the mortal flesh what it's supposed to be, a servant to the inner man. The outward man, for a believer, is supposed to be a servant to the outward man, a vehicle that allows us to stay on this earth, but not something that tells us what to do, tries to lead us. That is the power of transformation. I'll pause there and let's go to Romans chapter 8. You'll see the same terminology. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, the inner man, you put to death the deeds of the body, the outer man, you will live. So that's the picture he's laying here, that transformation of the life of Christ in you is not just saying, not just accepting it. There's a beautiful language of you should identify with who you really are. And they're talking about identifying with your spirit, who God made you, not with your flesh. And it's a beautiful language. It's an important language that when you're feeling like a lazy, broken, defeated person, stop thinking like that. Start to realize who Christ has made you. So I love that language. Identify with who you are. Accept who you are. Except if you're not growing in God, then who you are is a little baby. You're still a child of God, but you're an infant. Paul calls them babes. You're an infant. And if you just accept who you are and identify. So it's a beautiful language. If you're struggling or feel defeated, look, you're a child of God. God loves you. He's not angry at you. He's for you, not against you. He believes in you. But if that's our model going on for the rest of our life, yeah, God wants to use me in miracles. I'm accepting who I am. And I'm sorry. On the other end, it's a deception. If that's all you do is accept who you are, that's your kingdom building philosophy, is accept who you are, walk in your calling. It's kind of a joke because, look, you can see some good things and God does the miracles through carnal men. But really, if that's all it takes, then why aren't you walking like Jesus, my friend? I mean, you may talk about it, talk about things that God did through you, but why aren't you really walking like Jesus? Can I send some maimed people, you with some war veterans who have no arms and no legs, some blind people to you, some broken children who are born with no faces? Can I send them to you, and will Jesus be able to, God be able to do through you? Will the Holy Spirit be able to do through you what he could do through Jesus? Well, we know the answer is no. But that is the path that transformation will take us. Christ, we're putting on Christ in our inner man. And from that development of the inner man, we're now able to put it over to our mortal flesh. Or the mortal flesh, we want our body to be healthy. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's not talking about harming your body. He's talking about the soul, the mind, will, and emotions of the outward man needs to be killed. So, because it's no longer you. That's the power of transformation. Verse 12. So death is working in us, but life in you. You want to be a great minister of God, to see God use you in revival? Then you got to kill that outward man. Well, I've tried to use my... No, not with your willpower. The inner man has to kill the outward man. You got to build up the inner man first, and then you choose by the strength of the inner man with the help of the Holy Spirit to kill and mortify that outward man. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will be present with you. Boy, what a great reasoning for confessing the Word of God. You may look in the mirror and look at your natural life and go, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I can't even go 3 days of fasting, I can't even overcome this anger or jealousy. And he says, speak the truth. Who does God say you are? That's why we confess the Word. That's not who you are. That's your outward man. You are a new creation in God. You are righteous. You are perfect. You're just immature. And when I say you, as they say, if I point my finger at you, I got three fingers pointing back. Real quick because of time. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus also raised us up with Jesus and will be present with you. So you're already raised up from the dead. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, verse 16, now we're all, let's come back to verse 16. Therefore, now there's that word, and see, that ties this chapter together. We saw it in chapter 4, verse 1, that this is our ministry. Do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. See, the job for the outward man is to make it perish, diminish, lose its strength, its power over you. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Where does renewing come from? We can read in chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans, that transformation takes place by the renewing of the mind. And many people think that's fixing my thinking, changing my thinking. No, the renewing takes place in the inner man. So I can join those two verses together and tell you how what it means to renew your mind is to take that spiritual mind of Christ that's in you but is an infant and fill it full of the knowledge of God through praying in tongues and meditating the Word of God. And as that knowledge of God comes forward in the inner man, cemented in there with godly truth, Paul's saying here, my ministry to you is not Paul's wisdom, Paul's advice. It is what truth that of God that I get in me, and that I can pass it to you. Death works in me so that life can work in you. And so when you renew that spiritual mind, it's got, when you're born again, that spiritual mind is empty. It's like a newborn baby. And now that it's been rebirthed, and it was dead, it was dark, in darkness, but now it's alive and light. So now it's ready. It is that treasure chest, ready to be filled with the gems of truth and wisdom and knowledge from God, from His mind to your spiritual mind, spirit to spirit. And it's empty when you're born again. And so fill it up with the truth. How? Pray in tongues. Let those mysteries of God be transferred to your inner man's mind. And then once that knowledge comes forward to maturity, it will conflict with the knowledge of the outward man, the outward mind. And then the Holy Spirit will pick a showdown and say, here's the real truth, here's the counterfeit truth you've been living by. And then you get to say, oh, I'm going to choose the real truth, and then you kill the counterfeit truth. That's a mortification. We call it a revelation, but it's really a mortification. And so do not lose heart. That means that this is not an easy path. This is not a fun path every day. It's exciting when you see the fruit come forward. But the cultivating of that truth and that fruit is laborious sometimes. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. You can pray in tongues and think, nothing's working. I prayed in tongues. I don't know anything. It's coming. It's coming as it builds up. Watch. Watch how you'll know things. You don't know why you know them. It's because you spent time with the Holy Spirit teaching your inner man spirit to spirit. Don't lose heart. Well, I've gone way over time. I love you. Thank you again for sticking with me and allowing me to teach this to you. I believe we need to get the church back on the right foundation. Too many church people are not investing in learning the truth, learning the skills by the Holy Spirit, so they can share that truth with others and serve homemade banana cream pie is better than the restaurant, made with love and for free. We've got too many church people going to the restaurant and being served and having to pay and never learning and never growing, just receiving. The difference of the walk of the Spirit versus the walk of the carnal man. The carnal man learns how to receive from God receive Christ from the preachers, receive from God through the services, through the anointings, through the glory clouds. But the walk of the Spirit is you are building Christ in you, His wisdom, His love. You're actually putting on the same attributes that Jesus had. That's available to you, little old you. Oh, but I'm such a mess. He's not afraid of your mess. But you should be afraid of not spending time praying in tongues and worshiping God, meditating the Word of God, because that is your avenue to victory. If He puts you on this path, it's because He believes you can make it. If you just don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Let's keep going. I love you. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.